We're trying something different with it so that hopefully it doesn't get as much feedback. But we are thrilled with all that Jesus is in our life and all that he has done in our life. And what a great song to remind us of just that. And so this morning, I want to take a second and say happy anniversary to my wife. 24 years she has put up with all of this. Today, not this week, today. 6 o'clock today, 24 years ago. All right, bring me down a little bit, Brian. 24 years ago today, 6 o'clock in the evening, in the middle of the blizzard of 96. Man, when we pick a date, we pick a date. And yeah, they were we were scooping snow and everything else so people would have a chance to get there. The church I pastored was 40 minutes away, and hardly any of them could get out of the place where most of them lived, and there was just all kinds of stuff going on. And so we talked on the phone, we took a deep breath, and we prayed and said, yeah, it is what it is. God's bringing us together, and we're thankful for our story. And we have a great story, and I'm thankful for that. And I think it blends with this message. And you say, well, he's the pastor, so he can get up and say these things. I don't get up and tell my wife happy anniversary. But friend, I'm going to tell you now, if you want to get up here and tell your wife happy anniversary, tell me, because I will let that stuff happen. You know, that's, we're here to edify and encourage those kinds of things. So I have no problem if you want to get up here and do it too, right? Just say so. We'll make it happen. We'll do videos or whatever, man. We'll make it a time. Because I believe we should celebrate these things. But, you know, I look back and I don't know, maybe it's just the pastor in me, but everything, you tend to find a message. And I look at our story so often. I look at my life especially and some of the stupid, crazy things that I did and were a part of my life, and how easily I could have messed up what God had planned. And sometimes if we just submit ourselves and allow him to begin to move in our life the way he wants to move in our life, we have that rebirth, and we're going to get into that in a minute. We truly have that rebirth, and we just start pursuing a life of Christ. Man, he's got so much more than we could have ever wanted. And I look back now, and I see that. 24 years, and it wasn't always easy, right? There were some crappy days, crappy moments, and she had a whole lot of this to work with, so that made it even more difficult for her, I'm sure, and because I wasn't the easiest guy in the world. But no matter what we faced, no matter what the challenge was, God always made a way. God always made a way, and I could spend the entire afternoon telling you those stories, amen? Not going to do that. If you want those stories, we'll go have a cup of coffee and share those stories, but I'm not going to do it here. But I just so often look back and I see what God has done in our life, and I'm thankful for it. So thankful for you, Sam. She's made me better. She's made me better from day one. She showed me things that made me set goals that I never communicated to her or anyone else, but I would see her kindness and I would see her giving and selflessness and so many things, and it drew me to her. And I repeatedly said to myself, I need to be more like that. And it made me want to spend time with her, and it made me want to be around her. And through that, we fell in love, and we've been blessed. So I'm thankful. I'm thankful this morning. Okay, enough gushy stuff. let's get to our message this morning. No, I mean every word. And again, I'm thankful this morning. So we are talking about new wine. And I put a post out on Facebook last night. And if you've paid attention, I've not been on Facebook nearly as much as I used to be. And I'm just not, it was just stupid. I was spending way too much time reading and indulging in crazy things that were meaningless for the most part and everything. And so I've largely stepped away from that. I stay in touch with friends and family, and I might post a thing or two here and there, usually God-centered things. I think would be helpful to people in certain situations that they might need to read. But for the most part, compared to what I was doing a year ago and what I'm doing now, it's not even close to the same. But I put a post out on Facebook last night. I do keep up with the church page. I think that's important. And I put a post out there saying that last week's message, I mean, I've been doing this for almost 30 years, and lead pastoring for about 20 of those 30 years. And last week's message was probably one of the most responded to messages that I've ever preached. And you know, not to say that what I preached years ago was bad or anything, but I think we just have more opportunity to reach out to people and have conversations with people through text and messenger and different things like that today than what we used to back then. We would go to church and we'd see those people once a week, sometimes twice a week, and then we wouldn't see them again for that time because, you know, picking up the phone took a lot more effort and took a lot more of our time. So, you know, I'm not saying it for any other reason than that. But it's always encouraging to me, and like I said on the post, yeah, there were some accolades and there was some good encouragement from that, but there were also a lot of questions, right? There were a lot of questions and a lot of people wanting to clarify and understand more the message. So we're going to review for just a moment. And last week, we talked to you about new wine, and we talked to you about how new wine can't be put into old wineskins. And we preached that Mark, but it's also there in Matthew, and I believe it's also in John or Luke, one of the two. It's in three of the four Gospels. And in looking at that, what we see, and if you study that, as the wine ages, it ferments, and as it ferments, it lets off vapor, right? And so as that happens, that wineskin that it's in expands, right? That leather expands, right? And that wine ferments, becomes aged. And we can argue a million different ways, and I really don't care about that conversation, but we can argue a million different ways of what that means as far as the wine is concerned. I don't think that's our focal point. I think our focal point is understanding what that means as far as we're concerned. And in doing that, what the scripture tells us is you can't put new wine into an old wineskin. Why? Because that wineskin has already been expanded, it has already been stretched, it has created cracks, it has created different things, and it has even dried on the outside where those cracks and things formed. So if you put new wine into that old wineskin, it will begin to expand and those cracks will break, or the scripture says the bottle will break, the skin will break, and the wine will fall out, right? The analogy for us, and I'm a big believer in context of Scripture, and one of the questions I got is I made a reference to being born again. And in being born again, Nicodemus challenges Jesus, and he says, you know, must I enter my mother's womb a second time? You know, is that what you mean, born again? So in looking at that context, Jesus responds and he says to him, no, you must be born of water and spirit. Now, John Wesley, and I got asked this, and so I remembered it from my study years ago, and so I was working off of that knowledge, and so I actually went back into some of my old notes and found that John Wesley, who was very much a context type of preacher, there's a lot of expositors and different things out there that preachers use of Wesley, and I love some of the old guys like Spurgeon and Wesley and Calvin and those people when you begin looking at things, because they were in a very finite place where they're not looking at a million different translations that man has done, but they were back in a lot of the fundamental times when people were really beginning to grasp and understand and bring the Bible or the Reformation of Christianity into today, right? I love going back and reading a lot of the old stuff. Wesley tells us that because of the context of Jesus' comments, he was responding to Nicodemus. He wasn't teaching, he wasn't giving new concepts, he wasn't giving new precepts other than the new concept and the precept of teaching about being born again. That was the context of Jesus' message for Nicodemus in that moment. So in looking at that context and that context only, we see that Jesus is making a differentiation between the fleshly or physical birth of man and the spiritual birth of man by differentiating between water birth and spiritual birth. And so by that, we take and we understand that what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus is, you're not going to go back into your mother's womb, but the precept is the same. I want you to begin again. I want you to start over. I want you to choose to be born again and allow through me God to become your father, and the things that your mom and dad taught you as you were crawling and as you were nurturing and as you were growing to become an individual, I want you to now start allowing that nurturing to happen through the Spirit, not through the flesh and not through what you see, but through the Spirit birth within you, so that you develop and become more like me, more like what God has centered on us. And friend, I can't think of any better illustration for us today. I mean, I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm gonna tell you, we were talking yesterday, and I think the church has so messed this up. We have so messed this up because pretty much in our culture, we have two concepts of church. We have traditional and we have modern. We don't have a whole lot of in-between. And I'm trying my best to stay in that in-between lane because I think there's some good modern stuff. And I think there's some good traditional stuff. And I think both are necessary, and I think both are important. And I think we need to stay focused, however, on the importance of Jesus Christ and us evolving into what God created us to be. And in modernism, if we allow everything to go, if we allow everything to happen, if we allow everything to be okay, well, then we need to rip this out. Wad it up, throw it away. Because Jesus is saying to Nicodemus here, and through Nicodemus, he is saying to you and I that you must, not it's a good idea, not well when, you know, when you mature and when you've been a disciple. No, that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying you must be born again. You must start brand new. And you must be nurtured, and you must be cultivated, and you must be driven into a life that is directed and centered on me. That's why I'm here. Life. I am the light of the world. I'm the guy God has sent to show you how to get to God. Right? You don't need this philosophy and philosophy and this theology and that theology. You need me. You need me. And I am challenging you to be born again, to begin developing through your association with me and the Holy Spirit to become like God, to move yourself into His presence and into His being and become more like Him. Modernism doesn't teach that at all. Right? Modernism takes the come as you are ideology, and as long as you come, you can stay that way. We really don't care. Right? That's crap. Right? But then there's the traditional idea, who ultimately is saying to you, no, we don't allow that. We don't want that. That's horrible. That stinks. That's not godly. You clean that up, and then you can be part of us. That's crap too. Amen? Y'all know I'm real. Amen? You're going to hear some craps from this guy, amen, because I just keep it real, right? So both of those mentalities and both of those angles and avenues to get us to God are horrible, right? What Jesus is saying to us here is he's saying to us, be born again, start over, realize, amen, take this in, realize that your flesh seeks to please itself. Realize that you are born into a sinful nature. Why? Because the flesh seeks to please itself, right? So we are now in a place where we are at war with ourselves, ultimately. And if we war with ourselves, if we battle ourselves, what are we going to do? We're going to start making sacrifices to one another. We're going to say, I want to be like Jesus, so I'm going to quit doing this. But then there's this, and I really like this, So I'm just going to hold on to that over here because God's grace is sufficient. Right? You see, that's the culture problem with what we're dealing with as far as moving into a place in a presence of Jesus Christ. Right? And I think this is why when you try to preach or present something that's really rubber on the road type of mentality, that it's such a struggle for today's culture to get it. Why? Because we're one or the other. We're traditional, where it's this way or the highway, right? Which is not how Jesus operates. Amen? Right? We remember the woman comes in, washes his feet, and the Pharisee sitting there saying, if he knew who she was. Amen? That's the traditional mentality, right? But then we have modernism that is essentially saying to us, it's okay who she is, and it's okay what she is, and man, she can just be that here with us, and that's all right. No. Neither one work in the essence of who Jesus is. They both work, catch this, they both work in the essence of who we are. So the question for all of us is, are we seeking to please ourselves? Are we choosing to pursue something that is comfortable to us? Are we wanting to live out our religion, our sense of holiness, our sense of God, our way, and asking Him to be okay with it, regardless of which side we're on? Or do we choose to be born again? Do we choose to say to ourselves, and do we choose to say to everyone else around us, that I'm starting brand new? I'm starting over. And I am choosing Jesus. Because that's the challenge that He's laying down. That's the challenge that He's laying down to Nicodemus and through Nicodemus to you and I, is do we choose Him? Do we choose to be like Him? And how does that work? We can look at the context of the scripture. In Matthew chapter 9, he gets into this, and in chapter 9 he talks about the wineskins again. But if we look just before chapter 9 and chapter 8, we have a couple of very interesting moments. We have the moment where Jesus calms the sea, right? And the disciples are on the sea in the boat, and they're freaking out thinking they're going to die. And so they wake up Jesus. And Jesus speaks to the wind, and He speaks to the seas, and He says, peace be still, and they stop, right? Let me just, you hear people talk about chaos. I am not a chaos person. My wife will tell you. I like structure, I like peace, I like quiet, I like order, I like structure, and this, that, and the other, and so forth. And when things are chaotic, it drives me bananas, right? Just talking about me. And that's not a preaching moment. That's a me moment. Okay, I like order, right? Maybe it's growing up as an only child of an only child, and there just being two of us in the household, and things were pretty ordered because there was going on, and everything else. Maybe it's the military. Maybe it's this and that and the other. But that's just me. Okay, and I tell you how ordered I am as an aside is I was riding up the elevator one day many years ago, and my closet was such that I would go in, I would take my shoes off, and right shoe, left shoe, for each of my shoes in the closet. Well, something must have happened one day, and I took those shoes off really fast and quick and whatever, and they weren't where they normally are. So I got ready for work, not looking at my shoes, because I knew where my shoes were, and I knew where my shoes were, so I didn't need to look down and look at my shoes. I get ready, I get dressed, I go to work. And I'm right. Elevator at the office, and this lady in the floor above us, I noticed she's standing there kind of doing this number. And I'm thinking to myself, what the heck's her problem? You know, what is she looking at? And of course, I'm not going to be that guy that goes, you know, like this. So I just pretend like I don't notice. But at the same time, I'm thinking, what in the world is that? Did I step in dog poop? What's going on? You know? And so I'm trying to figure that out as we're riding up the elevator, and she gets... I get off on my floor, and as soon as I get off on my floor and the elevator starts behind me, I look down. Brown shoe, black shoe. Right? So I spent my day. Brown shoe, black shoe. Obviously wasn't going to drive home and change back, right? And that goes to speak to sometimes how failed our best efforts are. And no matter how good we try to make this work in the flesh, why, it will never, ever happen. It will never work in the flesh. We cannot live to please the flesh and walk in the precepts and the concepts that God lays down for us. And Jesus, more than ever in this illustration, is showing us that and teaching us that, that we truly have to be born again. We have to be changed. Amen? They wake Jesus up. Jesus speaks to the storm. Peace be still. The sea is calm. And peace is given. Right after that, they land, right? And you have to think, if you're a disciple in this moment, you have to think, man, that's the craziest moment ever. Oh, just wait. Just wait, because it's getting ready to get even crazier. Because now all of a sudden, a guy who cuts himself and is tethered in chains that he breaks because of his immense strength, because of the demons within him and everything else, is going to come running down to your boat going crazy. Yes, legion. So as if the storm on the sea wasn't bad enough, now we land on the shore, we think we've got a few minutes to catch our breath, grab a cup of coffee, chill for a few, and then we'll go on and do Jesus stuff in the city, right? Nope. Because out of the tombs comes this guy that literally scares us to death, right? But see, Jesus isn't shaken. Jesus isn't stirred. Jesus isn't deterred. Jesus isn't intimidated. Jesus takes the demons and takes the chaos in his heart and takes the chaos in his mind and casts it from him. And the next thing we see, and yeah, there's the swines and all that stuff, but that's not really the point of the message. The next thing we see as far as legion is concerned, when the townspeople come in to yell and bicker and complain, they take a step back. Why? Because this guy they couldn't control. This guy that they cast out because he was a tougher pill to swallow than what they had in them, right? Kind of like the traditional crowd. Is now sitting with Jesus and the disciples. And he's clothed in his right mind. He's clean and in his right mind. He's redeemed. And in his right mind, he is set free. And in his right mind, oh wait, he is born again. He's born again. He has started new. Because Jesus did what no man could do. Jesus did what he couldn't do. And set him free, compassionately yet sternly, of the things that held him captive. And so now he's new, brand new. And he is sitting at the feet of Jesus, absorbing it all, taking it all in. And we see evidence of this that when Jesus leaves, what does he want? What does he want? He doesn't want to go set up his own church, right? He doesn't want to write a book and become rich. He doesn't want name and lights and popularity, right? What does he want? He wants to be with Jesus. He wants to be with Jesus. He wants to stay with Jesus. Why? Because he was born again and he is now a child that wants to be nurtured and wants to seek and understand how it is and what it is that Jesus can do in his life. And as Christians, friend, that's the key. And I believe in a no-so salvation. I believe in a salvation that when you bow down, you are saved and you are clean. What you choose to do with it from the moment you stand up after that is up to you and your flesh. You can choose to pursue Christ. You can choose to accept worldliness, fleshliness, selfishness. Try to invite God in on that. Amen? And I'm going to be honest with you. And I don't mean this mean-spirited whatsoever, but I mean this in love and so that you grab onto it. In 30 years of ministering, I've had a number of people come to me and say, Jay, I want to walk closer with God. How do I do it? Pray, fast, read. Right? It's no new science. It's no new technology. It's no new marvel. Amen? You want to draw close to God? Draw close to God. Go where God is. Where are you going to find God? You're going to find God in the humility of prayer, in the sacrifice of fasting, and in the truth of His Word. That's where you're going to find Him. You're not going to find Him in new philosophies, and you're not going to find Him in you know, this thing or that thing or this song or that song and everything else. You're going to find God where God is. And where God is the same place He was thousands of years ago. Right? Amen? What's the amen count up to? Amen? Amen? That's where God is. He doesn't change for me. He doesn't change for you. But what He says is, be born again, and I will bring you into all of these things. What are these things? We don't know yet. Why? Because we're born again, and we have to walk with Him and be nurtured by Him and follow His example for those things to begin to take root in our life. Amen? I know a lot of people will say, go read John. And I love John. Don't get me wrong. I love John. But before John, I would suggest the Sermon on the Mount. Five of the most powerful chapters in all of the Bible. There is not a life circumstance that you will face or deal with that the Sermon on the Mount doesn't give you the instruction on how to respond and how to deal with it. And you want to know the best part about it? It comes right out of the lips of Jesus Christ. It doesn't come out of this man, that man. It doesn't come out of this theologian or that theologian. It doesn't come from this philosopher or that philosopher. It comes from Jesus. And He says, be born again. Amen? Things like be holy as your Father which is in heaven is holy. Amen? And we live in a culture today, modernism. Okay, I took a shot at traditional a couple seconds. So I'll take a shot at modernism now. We live in a culture today of modernism and everything else where we say, no one can be holy. That's why we need Jesus. Okay, that part's true. But allowing you to continue in reckless living doesn't have anything to do with Jesus. They should be pointing you to the truth. They should be pointing you to things that remove the chaos of this life from you should be born again. Amen? So it is important for us to understand that we struggle in this thing because we keep trying to do it in the flesh. No. I want you to take that in. If you're taking notes, write that in your notepad. Amen? If you've got your phones out for any other reason, if you're posting on Facebook, put that in your post right now. Amen? Because I'm getting real with you. You struggle in your Christianity because you are trying to do your Christianity in the flesh. That doesn't work. That will not work. That cannot work. Jesus came to put an end to that living and invite us into a living that is brand new. A new wineskin, a new life, a new being, and a new creature that results from it. Amen? That's why you can't put new wine in an old wineskin, because it will crack, it will break, it will pour out, amen, and before you know it, you're back at that tug of war again of flesh, spirit, flesh, spirit, flesh, spirit, flesh, spirit, amen? And that's not how this life is supposed to be lived, amen? It's not supposed to be lived that way. It's not what we're invited into. Not what Jesus says. Jesus doesn't say, when I promise you an abundant life, He doesn't say, but it's going to be filled with turmoil because, you know, I'm crazy all over the place. That's not His invitation. Amen? That's just our way of doing it. Jesus invites us into abundant life because he says, be born again and take these ideologies and walk away from them and step into the newness of who I am and what I am bringing to you. Follow my example. Do the things I do. Don't do the things I don't do. And man, I put that post on Facebook probably 3 or 4 years ago. Man, it turned into absolute chaos because of exactly what I'm talking about. Friends of mine who are a little more on the modernism side of things stepped in and started questioning certain things, and all my traditional friends, I love them both, and all my traditional friends started going beside themselves, attacking the modern people, and it turned into utter chaos. And after several days of just back and forth craziness, I just got on there and typed in a reply and says, thanks guys, you know how much I love all of you, but you have proven my point. Exactly. You're trying to do it your way. You're trying to do it your way. And none of you are 100% trying to do it Christ's. That's being born again. That is coming and choosing to step away from the things of the flesh and to start walking in the Spirit. That's what Jesus invites us into here in this moment. Now, there are other things associated to this and everything else later, and I'm not saying those are right or wrong, but what I'm saying is Jesus makes a clear distinction to Nicodemus. Makes a clear distinction to Nicodemus. No, you're not entering your mother's womb, but you're being born again of the Spirit. The things that I have come to do in you, a work of the Holy Spirit in you because of my sacrifice on the cross. And we've got to understand that. We've got to get this. This teaching is fundamental to everything that Jesus brings. The longer we keep trying to figure Christianity out in the flesh, the longer it will absolutely create chaos in our homes and in our workplaces and in our churches. We've got to start figuring Christianity out in the Spirit. Right? What does the Bible say? Unless you are drawn of my Spirit, you cannot be saved. You cannot be born again. Unless you are drawn of my Spirit, you can't be born again. Amen? What does he say about his word? Amen? We've got every freaking philosopher on the face of the earth trying to tell us what this thing is. And some of them are really good, right? And some of them, I appreciate their advice and I appreciate their insight into this. Some of them are garbage, okay, too. But at the end of the day, my understanding of this doesn't need to come from a theologian or come from a philosopher. My understanding of this needs to come from where? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Because why? The Bible tells me that I will understand it and I will grow in knowledge by the Holy Spirit. Amen? So at the core of salvation, at the core of being born again, at the core of allowing God to put new wine into our lives, that take us into new places. Amen. I told this to somebody one time, and they told me they'd never heard it put like this before. If your Christianity, if you get saved and your newfound Christianity, your newfound love of Jesus Christ and everything else is taking you to the same places and doing the same things and thinking the same way, yeah, you missed the boat somewhere. You missed the boat somewhere, right? Because that's not how it works, right? True Christianity, true born again, true salvation puts a fire and a hunger in you to begin living like Christ. Now, I'm not saying you're perfect right off the bat. Again, that's kind of where traditional and modernism butt heads. I'm not expecting anyone to be perfect right off the bat, right? Some get it a whole lot faster than others. And that's okay, but we have to allow grace to work. And this was another one of the questions I got, because they were said, is that really the biblical definition of grace about the tutelage and everything else? Well, yeah, it is, Why do you think grace exists if it's not for the opportunity to mold us, form us into the image of Christ? Amen? Why do you think Jesus suffered his disciples the same way he suffers us? It was so that he would have an opportunity through grace to show them a way that is better. Right? And that's why we need to be pursuing a way that is better. That's why we need to be changing and transforming our mind, renewing our mind. Amen? With the transforming of ourself. Amen? This happens through the Holy Spirit, and it's because we are looking to pursue the new things that God is life. Amen? This idea of living in the world and being part of the world after we have an encounter with Jesus Christ is foreign to the Jesus of the Bible. What did he tell Legion? Legion, in this moment, I want to go with you. I want to be with you. I want to be one of your disciples. What did Jesus say? No, I want you to go tell your story. I want you to go tell your story to everyone. He made him the first missionary. First recorded missionary in Scripture. Legion, the guy that came from the tombs. Amen? Could you see the headlines today with today's social media? Hey, we got the guy straight from the tombs today. Who's going to tell you about this guy named Jesus? Right? The marketing would be nutso on a guy like that. And the reality is, Jesus gives us the definition of how to disciple and how to evangelize him. Right? We're trying all these great, cool techniques and everything else today, and Jesus just says, tell your story. Tell your story. I was lost. Now I'm found. Can you imagine? Man, we're going to get to sit down with Legion one day, and we're going to get to hear that. We're going to get to hear that. That's what I think heaven's going to be. Y'all can have your big fishing trips and your big cruises and this. I do want some of my mom's deep dish macaroni and cheese. Amen. I think that's why she's in heaven now, because she's making sure them get it right, because there ain't nobody that makes deep dish macaroni and cheese like my mama. Amen. Sam and I've tried hard, and we're close, but we're just not there yet. Amen. And that's not a shot on her, because together we do it. Together, well, let's try this, see this. Did we do this? And so every year at the holidays, we're trying to figure it out. That's why mom's in heaven. Amen. She's getting the cooks lined out on the mac and cheese. And I'm going to tell you, when we get there, y'all wonder why when we have little dinners and stuff like that, I wait till the very end. Amen. The Bible says, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. So the way I look at it is, if I'm always last down here, I'm going to be first up there, right? Or at least in the front of the line, right? That's my hope anyway, Chris. Maybe it doesn't work that way. But I'm going to remind whoever's in charge of the buffet up there for the big dinner. I'm going to remind them, you saw all those church dinners. I stood back there with my arms crossed, right? You know, and I'm here. Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. But what we have to learn to allow ourselves to do, and it's tough, okay? I'm not standing up here throwing this down like I think it's easy, but it's why we have grace, and it's why we have the abundance of Jesus Christ to work in our lives. Amen? If we don't get up from an altar with the innermost fire and desire to be like Jesus, somewhere we've missed the point. And that's what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus in this moment. Is he was saying, dude, you got to be born again. You in your mind and in your heart and in your fleshliness, you've got to choose to start over and be nurtured by my example. Be nurtured by who I am. Amen. The fact that he told his disciples repeatedly, why must I suffer you? How long must I suffer you? Amen. Shows that his grace is abundant and his grace is bountiful and his grace is from everlasting. He examples that to us in his disciples who wanted it, who tried it, but kept falling. That's why grace matters. Amen. Grace doesn't matter for those that just wants to do it their way and then claim a whole lot of Jesus. Amen. That's blasphemy. Amen. Grace happens to those who choose to walk with him and mess up. don't fully understand. Want it, emulate it, but until they're nurtured in grace, never really fully achieve it. So it is to the utmost important of us that we walk in grace and allow the Spirit to lead our lives into the newness of this life. Amen? New wine, right? The power and the filling of the Holy Spirit, new wine into our new life, right? It's not going to work in our old life. Our old life needed to be put aside. Our old life needed to be put to death. So Jesus died on the cross. So the only way this works is if we are born again. And we have to get that. No, we're not entering our mother's womb. No, according to Wesley in his context, we are not going to go through a fleshly process. But by being born again, we're choosing Jesus over ourselves. Right? So what does that look like? This is the second part. Maybe we'll get through this or not. If it takes us 3 weeks to get through this series, we'll do it in 3 weeks. If it takes us 5 or 6, we'll take 5 or 6. I'm not on any timeline, right? And I would much rather take the input that I got this week and take the time to clarify today than to just jump into something else and leave you out there wandering around. Amen? Did you get that one? No, he's not counting anymore. Those of you who are sitting here looking like, what in the world are they talking about? Haley made a jab at me on the announcements one Sunday about how many times I say amen during one of my messages. So Dwight and Bopper for a couple weeks kept doing an amen counter and would put it up on the screens behind me, and I saw it up there one day and so forth. So we joke about it now, which is all good. It's good to have some fun too. So what is becoming like Jesus look like? How do we pull that off? All right, first of all, as I hope I've illustrated, we don't pull that off. We can't pull that off. We don't make that happen. But Jesus gives us a number of examples in Scripture, starting in Matthew chapter 9, that I think are a good pointer for us on how now we should live. Right? So now we're in this place where we are pursuing Christ. So how does that work? We follow his examples. So in Matthew chapter 9, he calls his first disciple. He calls Matthew to be a disciple. Okay? Here is where probably both the traditional and the modern church freak out. Why? Because Matthew was a tax collector. It's the 1st of January. None of us like tax collectors right now. Okay? None of us. Right? It's our money. Who are they? What do they think? You know, hey, I get it, okay? But he calls a tax collector. He calls a guy that they knowingly had robbed people, had knowingly cheated people, and knowingly was taking money, taking food, taking opportunity out of the mouths of the people. And Jesus walks up to this guy and says, "Follow me." What does that teach us? It means if we're walking in the authority of Jesus Christ, we need to quit being scared of sin. We need to allow the authority of Jesus Christ to work in us and walk us into places that we are not intimidated by its existence. We are not intimidated by what it is or who it is or where it came from. Just like Legion running out of the tombs to the boat, and I can imagine the disciples looking like Laurel and Hardy going, "Oh, what do we do?" Right? That's how we look as Christians a lot of times, right? That's how we look a lot of times when we're presented with the filthiness of sin. And if we're traditional, we cast them out, kick them out, and we have nothing to do with them for the rest of their life. And if we're modern, if we're in modernism, then we just pat them on the back and say, "It's okay, we all make mistakes." No, we don't all make mistakes. No, we don't all make those choices. No, we don't all go. Because I'm following Jesus. That's why. Amen? So there is a great paradox for us to understand and for us to follow that differentiates the traditional church and the modern church. Amen? One wants to exercise judgment on everything, and one wants to judge nothing. Amen? And Jesus is nowhere in either. So now we find ourselves in this place with Legion, and we find ourselves in this place with any sin that we encounter where we are called to this idea of Christ. We are called to this merciful being that holds all holiness and holds all lack of blemish and holds all wonder within himself, but yet eats with sinners. How does that work? Right? And if you're the traditional guy, well, don't eat there. Well, you had lunch with him? You let her wash your feet? Right? And if you're the modern guy, well, it just doesn't matter. Let everybody live the way they are. Jesus is great. Jesus is wonderful. We've misunderstood him all these years. No, you're kind of still misunderstanding him. Amen? Because you are called to be born again. You're called to move out of both of those extremes and to walk into his light. Amen? And so right off the bat, we go from being born again to we go into this idea of teaching and this example of life that comes from Jesus Christ, where he calls publican to be a disciple. Probably the least resume that you would put on the top of the file to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. But Jesus calls him. Why? Because Jesus wasn't intimidated by who he was. Jesus wasn't intimidated by what he was. Jesus wasn't intimidated by the things he had done. And Jesus knew that he could make a new creature out of him. And if we are truly born again, and if we are walking in the authority and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, friend, I promise you, there is not a person that we can't walk into their presence that we should be intimidated by how they live or what they do or how they present themselves. We might not like it. We might not want that for our family or for our house. But to be intimidated by it and turn our nose up and walk away from it has nothing to do with the image that Jesus Christ gives us. Jesus walks up to Matthew and says, "Follow me." And until you're ready to start living out the authority of Christ in your life like that, I don't think you have fully transcended this idea of fleshly Christian and spiritual Christian. Amen? Because you're going to deal with some stuff. You're going to encounter some things, and there's some people who aren't going to receive you immediately, and none of that mattered to Jesus. To prove it even further, Matthew throws a party. Guys, guess what? Guess what? That prophet guy, the one healing everyone, he's making me a disciple. Let's have a party. Right? Again, we see the paradox of traditional and modernism. Modernism is going to be kind of, all right, I'll make the Kroger run, right? Traditional is going to be like, they're going to hell in a handbasket, right? But Jesus is here. And you want to know what Jesus did? Okay, mind blown if you don't know the scripture. You want to know what Jesus did in this moment? He went to the party. He went to the party. Now, I believe, doesn't really give us a lot of detail, I believe Jesus was a very different type of party goer than most party goers. I believe he refrained from a lot of the things that went on at the party. Why? If he was going to show Matthew that this doesn't need to be part of your life anymore, or this is bad, or this is horrible, wouldn't he have just not gone? Maybe what Jesus was trying to teach us through Matthew in this moment of, look, you don't need a lot of that stuff in your life anymore. Trust me, I'm going to fill you with things that are going to take your joy and going to take your abundant life to new levels. And so you don't need that stuff. You don't need that atmosphere. You don't need those things in your life. But those people, your friends, they matter. And how you treat them matters. And how you deal with them and how you love them matters. And so it's important for us that we see where Jesus is in this great divide that we have that we call Christianity. It is important that we see how Jesus maneuvered it and operated it. And for us to grab that and understand, what does this look like? What does this new wine way of living look like? It looks like Jesus. And it looks like Jesus walking into a party, shaking hands, hugging necks, and telling people that they matter while not doing the things that they do. Amen? That's new wine, friend. That's being born again and walking it and allowing Christ to be the example of it. Amen? Now, here's thing, because, man, a lot of you are going to walk out of here and going, hey, Jay just said I can go here and I can go there and I can do this and I can do that. Nope, not what I said. Not what I said. Okay? Because here's what I believe. If you're looking at it from that angle, then you're still that fleshly Christian. You're still that fleshly Christian looking for something that approves and condones what you want to do. Amen? And I told you early on, that's garbage. Okay? It is. Let's just wad it up, throw it away. All right? What I'm saying to you is Christ will allow you to love people and encounter people and establish relationships and friendships with them based on how you behave and present His love and compassion to people while not doing the things that they do. Amen. One of my biggest stories, I don't know, I hate to put that terminology on it. One of my biggest stories is I was a youth pastor, and our youth group was huge. Amen. It was up in the DuPont area back when DuPont existed, and we had kids from DuPont Junior and DuPont High School that would just flood into our youth group and everything else. And so we had all of these, you know, different factions in our youth group from time to time. And it was nothing on a Wednesday night for us to have 50 to 60 teenagers in our little portable building of a activity building that we had at that church, and in the church them to have 20, 25 people in the service on Wednesday night. Okay, so it was a thriving youth group. I was privileged to chaplain the DuPont teams, the DuPont football teams, and once their basketball team, and different things through this process. So I on access to them in the school and around the school and at their practices and different things like that, and I got to minister into their life. And Sam will tell you, we saw a whole lot of crazy, right? There was a lot of stuff going on in that youth group. A lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds, some kids who didn't even have a parent in the home, who with them and their brother and sister were trying to figure it out and move on. Some people who had drug-laden parents. I could go on and on to define what that youth group looked to you. But we were thriving. We were thriving. And I mean, every week it just got bigger and crazier and everything else, to the point that a lot of times I would leave there and I'd be like, whoa, God, how are you going to keep me, you know, working full-time and doing this and different things like that. Well, for three Fridays in a row during the football season this one year, I got calls in the middle of the night because somebody got arrested. Once it was from a parent, and twice it was from the cops because the kids were too afraid to call their parents, so they called me, right? Another, actually, that was one. One was the parent, one was that. And another one was actually Juvie calling me, because this has been the kid's third or fourth time, so they took him straight to Juvie. Juvie called me because the parents said they wanted nothing to do with him. So three Friday nights in a row after the football game, I'm getting called 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. We got babies at home and everything else, getting us up and everything else because of these situations. I got to put clothes on and I got to drive to the police station or drive to the home or drive way out quarter G to juvie and everything else in the middle of the night. And I'm ticked. I am spiritually indignant and I am ticked. So that Wednesday night, that following Wednesday night, I walk into my youth group and everything else. I'm purposely late, amen, mostly because I'm trying to exhibit some self-control. And everything else. I'm purposely late, and I walk into the youth room and everything else. Everyone's already there, and, you know, they're kind of trying to figure things out because the youth pastor's not here yet. Everything. I walk in, and I take my Bible, and I had a big date Bible with a hardcover at the time, and everything else. I walk in, and I take that Bible, and I slam it down on the table. And everyone goes dead silent, and they look at me, and I said, this was the last Friday night that I get called in the middle of the night because you guys cannot exhibit any self-control and conduct yourselves the way you're supposed to conduct yourselves. So from now on, if you can't go out into this world and act like a decent human being, especially those of you calling yourselves Christians, then instead of going into this world on Friday night, you come to my place. And we will hang out at my place. And we will do it with a ton of fun and a whole lot of Jesus. Now, I was just trying to make a point, right? He's trying to come out. I'm trying to get in their heads, right? So when they start to do something stupid that Friday night, they're like, oh, wait a minute, Jay. You know, Jay already done slammed his Bible, man. I don't want to see what comes next, right? I'm just trying to get in their head, right? So that Friday night, we leave the football game down in DuPont. We drive all the way home to Rock Branch. And, amen, we're putting our babies to bed and everything else. And we hear a knock on the door. That's kind of like, you don't think. And Sam's like, you better go see who's there. And so I walk down, open up the door, and there's like six kids there. Hey, Jay. Hey. And they're kind of like, you were serious, right? I'm like, dead serious. Come in. And then they were there till probably 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. The next week, there was probably 10 of them. The next week, it grew to like 15, 16. And there were times over the next 2 to 3 years that we had 40-plus kids at our house, our little double-wide of a house in Rock Branch after DuPont football games. Not because we're anything, but because we challenged these kids with something brand new, a new life, new wine. And we chose to not be intimidated by the things that come with it and stand in front of them and prove to them that, yes, you can make the hard choices. Yes, you can say no to the crowd. Yes, you can deny your flesh. And yes, you can do this because of a man named Jesus Christ. That's what this looks like. That's what this life looks like. That's why Jesus called the publican. That's why Jesus went to the party. Was so that he could show the whole world he wasn't intimidated, he wasn't scared, and he wasn't backing off. And that he knew and he believed that in his heart of hearts, he can make a new creature out of him. New wine. New wine. And friends, that's how we need to walk in this thing. That's how we need to think in this thing. That's how we need to live out this Christianity. We want new wine. Amen. You want to know what a lot of us want new wine for? It's because we just want to be seen as spiritual. We just want to be seen as an elder. We want to be seen like that great stalwart in the church we grew up with. And there's nothing wrong with that. But quit trying to be that person and start trying to be like Jesus and allow him to develop that person in you. Amen. Quit pursuing gifts. Amen. I heard Pastor Wright say one time, everything else, you want to be a spiritual person and do spiritual things and deliver people from worldliness? He said, then start doing it yourself, subjecting yourself to the power and the will of Christ, and he will empower you to do things you never imagined possible. That's gifts. It doesn't come by seeking self-glory. It comes by seeking Jesus Christ. Amen? And I've seen him do some incredible things. And I've seen him change lives that people never believed possible, the most of which was my grandfather. Hard carpenter, coal miner kind of guy. Right? Nobody in my life, military and everything else, have I been around who had a worse mouth than this man. The way he treated my grandmother sometimes as a man today makes me want to punch people. Just being honest with you. But I came to a place in my life where I quit being scared of him. And I started being determined. Started being determined because of the power of God living inside of me that something was going to be different. Something was going to change. And I wasn't going to accept the unruliness anymore. When I began to yell and scream at my grandmother, I would stand up and say, no, that doesn't happen anymore. It's okay to have a conversation, but you're not going to treat her like that anymore. Because I was no longer scared, and I was no longer intimidated, and I believed the power of God inside of me was greater than any evil and fleshliness inside of him. I had people in the church telling me, he's reprobate, Jay. You just need to move on. But I refused, because I believed in the power of God. And God brought him to his knees with open heart surgery, brought him to his knees. For the first time in my life, I saw him scared. And I stood with my grandmother's pastor at the side of his bed, and together we led him to Jesus. And we had a moment. I mean, God was there. It was a moment. And he came out of surgery, and I was there with my grandmother. My grandmother walked down the hall, and it was just me and him. And he turned his head over and he looked at me. This was after the tubes and stuff were out, so it was the next day, I think. And he turned his head over and he looked at me. And he said, I'll never be able to make up for all of the things I've done. But I prayed before I went to sleep. That God would give me the opportunity to help you even just a little bit in your ministry from now on. When we choose not to be intimidated by the roars of a defeated Satan, and the things and the powers that he thinks he holds, and we choose to confront it by Jesus living, then we have the opportunity to impact lives on a level we can't understand. That's why he called Matthew. That's why he went to the party. And that's why he repeatedly went against the grain of culture to change the lives of people like me. So what does it look like? What does new wine look like? What does new wine living look like? It looks like all the whosoever wills, whoever chose to step away from flesh, be born again and step into spirit, and allow the person and example of Jesus Christ to influence their lives. And that's what I challenge myself, and that's what I challenge you with. Be born again. Quit putting new wine, quit putting the truths of heaven into that old man, and give him a new man to work in. And your mind will be blown too. Stand and sing.